I saw something on Facebook which did make me laugh this week. It was a kind of a pic or a meme. I don't know if some of you saw it. It was really bad analogies written by high school students. You know, when you're practicing to write similes and metaphors and to understand what the difference is between those things. And so one student wrote, her eyes were like two brown circles with big black dots in the centre. Okay. Or, he was as tall as a 6'3" tree. Or, perhaps, her face was a perfect oval, like a circle that had its two sides gently compressed by a thigh master. I hope you're smiling at home, because it's just... Anyway, John and Mary had never met. They were like two hummingbirds who had also never met. Or this one, he was as lame as a duck. Not the metaphorical lame duck either, but a real duck that was actually lame. The lamp just sat there like an inanimate object. Or this one, her vocabulary was as bad as like whatever. I kind of like that last one. It's a funny word, like, isn't it? Like. What was Jesus like? I think about that. In fact, I think today you could actually say, you can ask that as a question. What was Jesus like? And people would understand what you meant. What was Jesus like? Well, I do love this story. It's one of my favourites. This healing of the widow's son, the widow at Nain. And I just wonder if you can imagine yourself there. So Nain was a village about 10 kilometres from Nazareth. So Jesus was pretty close to home. And as was common in those days, burials happened very quickly, normally within a day. And the body was carried on a bier, B-I-E-R, that's spelt. The coffin was carried on a bier. Often the body was just wrapped. And you can imagine that this crowd is actually coming out from the city. And we're actually told in the scripture that Jesus was also followed by a crowd. And these two large crowds collide. And at the centre of the crowds is Jesus and the widow. Now, we're also told in this story that the son was a young man and he was her only son. So there's an implication here of a difficult life ahead for the widow with no support. Not only was there grief and loss, but there was a future that she couldn't have imagined. I remember years ago now when I was a corps officer at Chatswood, I was asked to go to visit a family who wanted me to do a funeral. The funeral was for their son who had died from an overdose, and they weren't sure how that overdose had happened. And so this was a family I didn't know. And I went to sit with the family as we planned the funeral together. And I remember looking at this mum and dad, and he was their only child. This boy was their only son. And I remember looking at the bleakness of her face because she was past tears, you see. She was past tears. There was just this bleak look of absolute sorrow and loss. And it just, you know, struck at my heart. I helped that family and I led the funeral. And one of the people who helped plan the funeral for me was the young man who'd died's first cousin. She was pregnant at the time. And she had her baby, and then 6 weeks later I got a call from the same family to ask me to come and do the funeral for the little baby who had also died a cot death. Kind of just this bleakness, that's kind of the word that comes to mind, this bleakness of sorrow and loss. Now, I wonder if we can feel that for this widow. Sometimes we use the phrase good grief, but there's no goodness in grief, I think. I think grief is the rawest of our emotions. And for this widow, there's a sorrow like most of us can't imagine. Not just lost her son, but she'd lost her future. And what I love about this story is that Jesus focused on her. Jesus healed the son for her. Did you notice that this story is about her? He was the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. And he said to her, "Don't cry." This story is about the widow and about Jesus looking at her in her grief and her sorrow. And he says to her, "Don't cry." You see, in this story, the son is almost incidental. We don't really hear about the son apart from the fact that Jesus healed him. And it's not even faith that is at the centre of this story, as it often is. There's no instruction from Jesus here, no comment on her faith from Luke, right? No go in faith, no comment on her future faith or the son's faith. The focus is on her. And of course, she was the focus. She was the one who felt the pain. That's the way grief works. The pain is for the loving bystander. Yes, the son is the patient who is healed, but it's the mother who bears the pain. And Jesus saw this pain and responded. I watched a video of this story. I would have loved to have shown a video, and it's a fantastic one, but it was by the Mormons, and I wasn't quite sure if it's legal to show a video by people who we regard as a sect. But it's a great video nonetheless. And in the video, the producers give the crowd's words to her, the words at the end of the story. "Here is a great prophet. God has come to help his people." And as the widow says this, she's looking at Jesus. Her eyes are fixed on Jesus as he walks away. And yes, if you studied this story, you'd know that it reminds us of Elijah, right? That's the prophet reference. Because Elijah too had healed a widow's son in 1 Kings 17. And yes, Luke wants us to see that. That is true. But there's also something very personal about this story as well. I wonder why you're a Christian. If someone said to you, "Why are you a Christian?" How would you answer that? What would you say? I was talking to Karen in our office the week before last about this, about faith and about why I believed and about why I'm a Christian. And I explained to her why I'm a Christian. And I'm really a Christian because of Jesus. I'm not a Christian because of the Bible. I believe the Bible because of Jesus. I'm a Christian because of Jesus. You see, I feel like I've known Jesus all my life. I've known his character. I've known his goodness. I've known his compassion. When I was a little boy of 8, and I can remember going to the mercy seat in tears because I felt I needed Jesus. I needed his forgiveness and love. See, all those Jesus stories that I'd heard as a boy, they all gave me this idea of what Jesus was like, of who he was. And it wasn't really the miracles, although some of them were spectacular and I would have liked to have seen them. I would have loved to have seen those fish, loaves and fishes just multiplying, getting more and more. That would have been great to actually watch it, to actually watch a miracle live. But in our story today, it's not the miracle bit that touches me. Yes, Jesus raises someone to life. But the bit that touches my heart is Jesus' compassion. There's this idea that he is Lord. He's the Lord of all, the Lord of creation. But he also cares for me. This individual, personalized response to this woman. Why do you believe in Jesus? What's at the heart of it? Who is Jesus to you? What does he mean to you? When you think about Jesus, what are the phrases or words that come into your mind? Is it about his character? Is it the things you like about him? Is it his majesty? Is it gratitude for what he's done? Is it because he makes you feel better? At the heart of your belief in Jesus, is it perhaps a personal, spiritual, perhaps unexplainable experience? Have you always believed? Have you always just felt it to be true, the story of Jesus? Or is it all of the above, all of those things? See, I want to meet Jesus. I mean, I don't mean that I want to die. Well, at least not until the building's finished, right? Even if the rapture comes, I'm declining. Okay, I'm saying I'm staying here. There should be enough builders who won't go in the rapture to get the job finished, and I'll be here until I see it through. But I want to meet Jesus. Like, he seems nice to me. I'd love him to look at me the way he looked at that widow. I love this idea that the Lord, to whom I've given my life, looks after a single mum from a small town who has no advocate, who is powerless, and who is staring at a lonely future. And he heals her heartache and he gives her life back. That's what Jesus does in this story. See, he brings joy. He says, don't cry. He touches the bier. He disregards ritual purity laws. And he reaches out and he speaks to the young man and restores with a word. I love that phrase. And Jesus gives her back her son. That's an amazing idea that amidst the ordinary, the extraordinary, in turmoil, in heartache, Jesus is the one who heals our hearts and gives us life. I mean, that's why we're Christians, surely. Because in Jesus, we see and know and are awakened to God. Not just what God can do, but God's character that we see in Christ. In 1999, Sharon and I were doing our training at Erwood Corps. And I was instructed by our Corps officer, a great man called Noel Kay, to do stations. So I went, do stations, that's a phrase that means you fundraise at stations. So I went down to Bardwell Park Station, and I still wasn't very good at this stuff, just standing in front of people in my uniform, raising money. And I saw a man over at the gutter, and he kind of, it was a bit one of those odd things that catches your eye. He jumped back, and then he walked past me muttering, and he said, I was only trying to help. And I said, what is it? And he said, it's a cat. It's been hit by a car. So I didn't know what to do. I was pretty indecisive. I was standing there with my war cries and my box. And so I went over and there was a kitten and I went back because there was a train coming. And while I took about 2 minutes to decide what I should do as a responsible Salvation Army officer, a young lady went over and she was braver than the man and she picked up the cat. It was a kitten, really. And it was badly injured, having been struck by a car. And she just sat there on the station and she held the cat, the kitten who had quieted. And I went up to her and I said, she said, I'll take it to the vet. But she was just sitting there and I said to her, that was a lovely, kind thing that you did. And she didn't look at me, she was just looking at the kitten. And she said, I just can't bear the pain. And it was like this God moment, you know, this, I just can't bear the pain. This unnecessary response. She didn't have to do it, you see. But she just couldn't bear the pain. And I wonder, is that how God looks at us sometimes? Is that how God looks at the world? Is that what the cross was about? God says, I just can't bear the pain. And he reaches out. You see, I'd love the idea that Jesus actually hadn't planned to heal that boy. He didn't go to Nain for that reason. But he encountered this woman and he saw her pain. He saw her grief. And he saw her loss. And for her, he healed her son. For me, it's a lovely idea of God. That through Jesus Christ, I know God. I know the character of God. I know real life. I know that my heart can be healed. I know whatever I face, that my Lord and my Savior sees me and knows me. That God knows me through Christ. What does Paul say in Romans 6? Alive unto God through Jesus Christ. That should be on every Christian's t-shirt, shouldn't it? Alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Hearts healed and fully alive in him. That was the message of the prodigal son, that story we heard a few weeks ago. This brother of yours was dead and is alive again. That's the heart of the story. Jesus, our Lord, whom we love, heals our hearts and gives us life. That's the extraordinary Christian idea. This idea that Jesus loves each of us, that he knows us, that he cares about us, that he responds to our heartaches. And Jesus is at the center of our faith, at the center of our Christian experience, at the center of the Christian life. Do you know him? You see, it is possible to forget him. It is, in fact, possible to be so caught up in the crowd that we don't see what's happening. We don't want our heartaches to get in the way. Jesus knows you. Jesus knows your heart. He knows my heart. Let's live as people alive unto God through Christ, because that's a story worth the telling. That's a song worth singing. And that's a life worth living.